Thy word is a light. And what precious joy we have in following that light that the Lord has provided. Today we want to provide to you a challenge to be faithful this year in your Bible study. Sunday morning ought to be dessert, if you will, after a fine course meal that you've been enjoying throughout the week. We want to provide for you also some practical tools for Bible study, introducing you to some things that are available to you. After all, the believer's number one priority ought to be getting to know his God. Matthew tells us in chapter 6 and verse 33 to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. As we look in the word of God, Jeremiah chapter 9 says in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. I was thinking this week in preparation for this session, never in the history of mankind has more Bible study tools, have more Bible study tools been available to us. We have been inundated with opportunity, and yet we see a growth in apathy, and not only a growth in apathy, but also, unfortunately, a growth in biblical illiteracy. Though it's kind of humorous to share, when public school students in America were polled as to who Joan of Arc might be, many, many of them thought her to be the wife of Noah. When asked about the epistles, many responded, the wives of the apostles, of course. We live in a generation of increasing biblical illiteracy. And perhaps it's because knowing God requires us to take time in His Word, and therein is the rub. Time requires us to make a priority, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The 40th Psalm says, Psalm 40 and verse 7, in the volume of the book it is written of me. John 5 says in verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you want to know Jesus this year, get in the Word. In fact, I'll put a plug in already. Our adult Bible fellowships will begin next week, and the focus will be on the blood red crimson line that flows from Genesis to the book of the Revelation, getting to know the Lamb better as we see the Lamb in the Word of God. The average American spends 1 hour and 51 minutes a day on the internet, 675 hours in the year. The average American spends 2.8 hours a day watching television, 905 hours in a year. We asked the question this morning, how serious are we about reading the Bible? The Bible has 800,000 words approximately within the volume. On average, we read about 200 to 300 words per minute. That means the average person reading the Bible by himself without trying to enunciate the words, but reading silently, if you will, can read the Bible through in about 54 hours. If you're reading the Bible through aloud, 7 hours and 40 minutes from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. If you want to read the Bible through, and I trust you will, reading the Bible through will cost you 11 minutes a day. That's about 3 chapters a day to read the Bible through in a year. It's a convicting question to ask in a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, how many have read their Bible through? We're not going to ask for a show of hands. And we need to pause immediately and say, better to understand what you read, even if it's one verse or one portion of a verse, and apply what you read, than hurriedly read through the Bible just to notch that off on your bucket list. But it ought to be in the heart of the believer to get to know God, and to get to know God ought to mean I'm reading God's Word, and I'm reading it, and I'm trying to read it through. Getting a grip on God's Word ought to be a life's goal. I think there are 5 keys to getting a grip on God's Word that we ought to be aware of. We get a grip on God's Word when we hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We get a grip on God's Word when we read it. Revelation 1 says in verse 3, he that readeth and heareth the words of this prophecy will be blessed. We get a grip on God's Word when we study it. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We get a grip on God's Word when we memorize it, and we get a grip on God's Word when we meditate on it, even as we're singing together this morning from Psalm 1. Many benefits come our way as we spend time in God's Word. The Bible actually promises the pathway of success is found in the Word of God. Joshua was told in Joshua 1 and verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." In a world so filled with temptation, we need to know the success that God brings, and we need to know the pathway for avoiding sin. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And as we're in God's word, we grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "Sanctify them by thy truth," Jesus said in John 17, "thy word is truth." I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit when I talk about the value of Bible study. But I think as we head into a new year, there's no more appropriate challenge to give than the challenge of being in God's Word, being a student of God's Word, saturating yourself with Scripture, allowing that day-by-day process of sanctification to take hold as the Spirit of God ministers to your heart. I'm going to have my wife participate with me today on the practical side of devotions. We're going to talk about family devotions and personal devotions. Linda's going to come at this time as we talk about some practical tips for devotional growth. And she's going to start with a word of testimony. Linda.
I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't really even know God's Word. Timothy said that from a child he'd known the Holy Scriptures. That's not my testimony. And so as a 14-year-old, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and I knew that Genesis was the first book of the Bible. I didn't know that Revelation was the last book of the Bible. But I can say that from the time I got saved as a 14-year-old, I cannot remember a time in my life when I have not been in God's Word every single day. And I think that's the testimony to the people in my home church who discipled me and showed me where to read. They said, "Here, why don't you start in 1 John? Why don't you start in the book, go to the book of John, go to Revelation." They discipled me and helped me to know where to read in my Bible. And I am so thankful for the privilege that I had to be in God's Word and for people who discipled me to make that a daily habit in my life. And I praise the Lord for that. Our own children, we wanted to disciple in God's Word. And so as a mom, because I didn't know the Scriptures as a little child, I wanted my children to know that when they were old enough to read, we made sure, even before that we did some things, but when they were old enough to read, we made sure that they were in God's Word daily. I guess I was their conscience mostly. I can remember Chad getting up in the morning, and he had some things that he had to do. He had to read his Bible, and he had to play. He had two instruments, and he usually started with the piano in the morning. And so he'd read his Bible and play the piano, and then he could read the sports page. This started in second grade, and he did those things in that order, and not because he was spiritual, but because he wanted to get to number three, the sports page. But we wanted it to be a habit in their lives. This week, it was a privilege to have our daughter and son-in-law here and our seven-year-old grandson. And each morning, David would get up, and his daddy would say, "Have you brushed your teeth? Have you read your Bible?" And then he could have breakfast. And he did it diligently. And I'm so thankful for that habit that God has put and used in his parents to put a habit into his life that he would grow in Christ-likeness. And I'm thankful for those that discipled me and for the privilege of discipling our children and then seeing our grandchildren being discipled in God's Word.
I'm going to have Linda stay up here. We're going to talk together about family devotions. This past week, our grandson David, he's six. He came downstairs, and I was the only one up, and I said, "Do you want to come over here and read with Grandpa?" I had some children's books next to me, and he looked around, and he said, "Grandpa, I can't find my Bible. Do you have a Bible that I can use?" It was great. It was an awesome thing to be able to see the love for God's Word being spread to another generation. When we talk about practical tips for family devotions, if you will, We're going to start with the matter of striving for participation. I'm going to have Linda talk about that a little bit, some of the things that we've done with our kids to get them involved in family devotions.
One of the most fun that our kids had is on Saturday was their night to do family devotions. And so they would prepare. Sometimes one of the boys would preach. They acted out things. I remember David and Goliath getting acted out and somebody standing on a chair and having ketchup on their hands so that when he got hit with the rock, we played games together. And it was exciting and the kids looked forward to it. And that was a lot of fun for them to be able to participate. That was their day, that was their night to be able to put together family devotions.
One of the things that's helpful right now for a church family that's seeking to be involved in praying for missionaries, pick one of the missionary folders up out in the foyer. We use this at our table each evening to pray through with the missionaries that the Lord has allowed our church to support. And getting others assigned is some of my responsibility. So as we're praying in the evening, it's typical for me to say, Caleb, Dan, Chase, why don't you pray for these missionaries? Chase pushes back a little bit right now. He's not quite as spiritual as the rest of the family, but we're working on him. Not only striving for participation, but working to have variety. I'll let Linda talk about some variety ideas.
We did some things when the children were little. On Mondays, we always reviewed Sunday. We'd everybody go around and they would say what they got out of Sunday school or what they got, something that they learned, a lesson that they had. And that was a special blessing. I remember especially after my parents got saved, my dad participating in that for the first time. I'd heard my dad ever share something that he had learned in the Sunday before when we were in church together. Tuesdays, we would do missionary biographies. Wednesdays and Sunday evenings, we would come home from church and it was time to get to bed, school the next day, tired children. We would kneel beside the bed, maybe sing a song and pray together. We kept it simple, but that's what we did on those evenings. Thursday would be a Bible story. Friday was Mom's night. And on Mom's night, I would use the couch often as my flannel graph board. We would do a story or a continuing story. And then Saturday was kids' night, and we would just mix it up, and it was just fun for our kids to enjoy family time. It was usually very short, but it was something that was fun.
I can honestly say in our years of being married, we have never missed a day of having family devotions with our family. It's been something very important to us. Now, life gets busy. When they were little, we'd have devotions just before the oldest one went to bed, or the youngest one went to bed, rather. So, you know, they're going to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. No big deal. We're going to have family devotions, which means we're reading from a Bible storybook and having a time of song and prayer. We're doing that right now with Chase. As they get older, it gets tougher. They've got schedules and opportunities and athletic events. And instead of backing off and saying, well, we can't keep up, what we did is we adjusted our schedule so that at breakfast time, we're reading a portion of God's Word. It may be something as simple as the daily bread. It's not real long. Evening time, we're doing the same thing. Maybe another Bible, a lesson book that we're sharing at the table. Sometimes reading through Bible books. Sometimes reading through the whole Bible. We read through the whole Bible during our evening meal over a period of a year and a half. I guess the whole New Testament it was. And then praying for missionaries or other special needs. And then before the youngest one goes to bed, a third time in the day, we're plugging into God's Word so that we can say with clean conscience, we want our children to know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to back off. We're going to plunge ahead. And not everyone was there at every time. If they're working in the evening, they can't be there for the evening devotional time, but they might have been there for breakfast. And we've just found that to be so important in nurturing our children in the Word of God. Make it a part of your routine. Breakfast time, dinner time, great times. By the way, meals together, what an important virtue that's being lost in the generation in which we live. One final thought here under practical tips, and then we'll jump into some varied materials that are available. Wives should assist and husbands should lead. There are some fellows out here who say, my wife's a better reader. Actually, she's a better comprehender of what we just read. That's okay. Leadership often sees that others have greater abilities than oneself. And allowing those abilities to be used is good leadership. And so as a dad, I can say to you, and as a husband in the home, I've encouraged my wife to participate, often delegating and assigning. Honey, can you put together a prayer schedule for us? Honey, can you get this book and buy it? Let's make sure we have the materials available. Honey, why don't you read this evening? That's all good. Leadership is making sure that we're going in the right direction and involving others along the pathway. I've heard things that my children have said at the table that have encouraged me greatly as we've paused for a time in God's Word. Let me share with you, or we'll share with you together, some materials that we found helpful. Some of these are at the bookstore. Others, if you want to get them from the bookstore, they can order them for you and have them here quite rapidly. I've really enjoyed the material by the Daily Walk Ministries. They have two books that have been very helpful to me in reading my Bible through. One's called The Daily Walk. I really like that because The Daily Walk explains first the book of the Bible, puts it in the historic setting, gives you a practical application. And if you're trying to read your Bible through and say, sometimes I have tough days, okay, The Daily Walk has a heart of the passage section to read so that you might not have to read those three, four, or four chapters on that particular day, but you'll get the heart of the passage and move from the heart of the passage to a practical application. The Closer Walk takes you through the New Testament in a year. We have The Closer Walk in the bookstore. We can order for you The Daily Walk if you're interested in going through the Bible in a year with a good companion book to explain the content and make good practical applications along the way. I'm going to let Linda talk about our friend Dr. Ed Nelson's devotional books. We have these in the bookstore as well.
He actually has three. The first volume is Through the Bible. It helps you to read through the Bible in a year. It even has a family portion, again, if you wanted a shorter one to get through that little section at least. Then he has Through the New Testament. He also has a third one that's Through the Psalms. You would read through the Psalms, I believe, three times in 1 year and just study in the Psalms. I gave that to my mom, who was a new Christian, and that was a real blessing to her. It was exciting to see my mom be in God's Word faithfully.
In the bookstore, we have some materials by Warren Wiersbe. We've always enjoyed Warren Wiersbe. There's one now that's in the bookstore on praises and promises. I was just talking to Joe Henderson, and Joe said how much he's enjoyed that one. We just bought it for our family. But Warren Wiersbe's Through the Bible in a Year. Again, if you're desiring to be in the Bible and get through it in a year, Warren Wiersbe is pithy in the way he writes, memorable, a tremendous help, and always consistent in his biblical application. He has two other books that are available, the Old Testament Words for Today and the New Testament Words for Today, that if you're interested in studying some theological words for the year, those books would be very helpful to you. I'll have Linda talk to you about, I'll talk about Spurgeon for a minute, and she'll go to the next one. Morning and Evening by Spurgeon. It's a classic. We've read the original Morning and Evening at the table, explaining the vocabulary as you go. Now, they have more contemporary versions of Morning and Evening where the vocabulary has been made more current. Alistair Begg has a Morning and Evening out right now, which is Spurgeon's classic with some practical contemporary application, and the words have been lightened a little bit. This is not a Through the Bible in a Year book. This is a devotional thought for the day book, much like Daily Bread, but we love Spurgeon. And then Paul Chappell's works are in the bookstore. He has three devotional books that he's put out. Again, these are more like the Daily Bread. If you're familiar with the Daily Bread, it's a devotional thought, practical application for the day. Linda, if you want to talk about these next.
Even as a teenager in our home church, we were challenged to read the Bible through a year, and that was a blessing to me. I've done it several different ways. One of the things that I've done before is this first one. You can get several copies of the Bible, it's all parsed out for you. You're going to read a portion of the Old Testament, a portion of the New Testament, a little bit of a Psalms or a Proverbs. And I liked having this like this. The only thing is I wasn't reading in my own Bible. Do you know what I mean? If you'd ask me, where were you in your devotions today, I might not know, because I didn't know if I was in Chronicles or Kings, or because I'm just reading through it. I liked that, to have it all together, but the tool that I liked the best, so reading through the Bible, is this Footsteps Through the Bible. It's a chronological study through the Bible. It gives you some tools, it gives you some ways to do it. When you get to, you're gonna go to Genesis, and then you'll skip in, and you'll go to Job, and then you'll go back to Genesis. When you're reading through the Kings and the Chronicles, you're going to go back and forth between the books. Same with the epistles, you're going to go to Acts, and then you're going to go into some of the epistles, and that was just a really nice way to read through the Bible. Use your own Bible, you can write your own notes, and I really, really liked this book.
I'm going to have Linda talk about this one as well. We can both talk about this day in Baptist history. I love history, and I think any person who's a Baptist ought to know why. And one of the best ways to get to know why practically and enjoyably is to read This Day in Baptist History. There are three volumes. They'll tell you something about what happened on this particular day in the history of the Baptist movement over the last 400 years. And you can read about it and then apply Scripture appropriately. You can tell them, Linda, what happened. When we read the first volume, This Day in Baptist History, they came out with volume two.
And Caleb loved it so much that he saved his money and bought volume two for himself. And so it was something, he was an elementary student at the time, but it was a really nice study at the table.
Also pictured here is the Amazing Grace Bible storybook, which is about hymns of the faith. We've used that for family devotions. We have that in the bookstore. It tells about a hymn that you're probably familiar with, a passage that goes along with it. You can sing it together as a family. And by the way, you don't have to be musical to sing together as a family. Not everyone in our family is very musical. We still croak out a tune together as a family. An Amazing Grace hymn storybook has been a blessing to us that way. You want to talk about this one, Linda? About
The Wilds, in particular, has several books, several studies by Rand Hummel that are great for upper elementary, junior high, even other teenagers. And our children have used those through their own studies when they're little, and they've been a blessing to them.
I had to throw this slide in. This is Dr. Chase. He's growing up in our home now, of course, and he's not reading yet. We're working on that. But we want him to be involved in spiritual disciplines, and we want to be able to say from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. So we pictured for you here something that Linda's holding that we do along the way before the children can read. We put together their own prayer book, and the prayer book doesn't have any words in it because they can't read, but
I wish that we'd done this with all our children, and I wish I had Daniel's. Daniel had his for a long time. We took pictures.
It took Daniel a long time to learn to read. That's what.
We took pictures of family members, and then we took pictures of maybe Sunday school teachers or teachers in school, special friends, special people, other pastoral staff people, and they would just take their little notebook, any kind of notebook that you have like this, and we would flip it, and that would be their devotional book. That would be their prayer list. It was people they knew, and especially Daniel was so diligent in praying for people. If he took your picture, he was going to pray for you faithfully, and so they'd pray for one or two every day.
We have over in the bookstore Eggermeyer's classical works on Bible stories, the Bible in pictures for little eyes is most appropriate for preschoolers, and Eggermeyer's Bible story book will get you through the concepts of the Bible. I've heard preachers say we're in an unfortunate generation. There was a generation where when one would say, it's like in the days of Elijah, everybody would immediately have an illustration in their mind because they thought biblically. We're not in that generation anymore. But we like to have our children have those Bible stories in their hearts so that they do have that Bible concept to go back to. And so the Bible in Pictures for Little Eyes for Preschoolers, Eggermeyer's Bible storybook for them when they get a little older. And as we already noted, pick up a missionary prayer card. Also something to note in the bookstore that will help you along the way, we have these binders, and inside the binders, a section for sermon notes, adult Bible fellowship notes, devotional notes, prayer journal notes. You'll learn along the way if you're not disciplined enough to put it somewhere where you have it connected and all the parts are in place. It's very difficult to stay current with personal devotions, but I trust the Lord will challenge us as a church family and individually to be current along the way. Pastor Keith, I'm going to turn it back to you.
I hope you benefited from what you just heard. I know I did. Of course, we're in the stage now with Caden where we're starting to look towards that and even starting to do some things now and not nearly as faithful as we'd like to be. So grateful to learn from people who've done it beforehand. And I think we discovered afresh, especially me this morning, why the Phelps family has such a weight of respect in my mind. I'm so grateful for someone who's invested in my life a legacy of word-centeredness. And that's a legacy that lasts. And I hope that we'll all challenge each other with that this year.